Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
What's going on? My name is Matt. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. This is a weekly podcast where we go to garage sales and thrift stores. We try and find some items that we can resell online for a profit. Now, this episode, I've got a lot for you. I've had a really insane week. I've decided to cull my inventory. I'm getting rid of stuff that is worth less than $50 or it's been online for at least a year, I think. Now, some of the items that I found were incredibly embarrassing. They're so embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you all about them. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. I need you to not bully me. And if you want to see photos of those items, you can go on the Flip Weekly newsletter and you can check them out. You can zoom in and find all of the horrible, horrible items that I bought when I was first starting out. I'm talking things that you can find on eBay now for like $5, including post. They are so bad. I'm honestly so embarrassed. This stuff was taking up space, storage space in my home. And I don't know what I was waiting on because I checked like the sell through rate for some of this stuff and it's so bad. It is honestly so bad. But you know what? Yeah, you can laugh at it, but there's going to be some items in here that have sold. Not items that I've culled, but items that I've sold recently that are worth a lot of money. So don't laugh too hard. Don't laugh at me too hard because I think you're going to be hating me once you see some of these items. I've also got a moral dilemma in secondhand opinions for you. I'm going to get your opinion on that. Remember, you can vote in secondhand opinions on the newsletter, or you can write in to me at matt@flipweekly.com. You can leave a comment if you're listening on YouTube or Spotify. But the moral dilemma sort of extends from what I'm about to tell you about what I bought. I didn't really buy this. So this is what happened, okay? This week I was in a thrift and I saw a Philosopher's Stone book on the shelf. You know, I'm always looking inside of my Harry Potter books. I'm looking for the elusive J.K. Rowling signature because if you find that signature, you can sell that book for over $1,000. If you're lucky enough to find a Harry Potter book with cast signatures, especially now with the rift between, you know, J.K. Rowling and the original cast, if you can find them all together, man, you would be sending that off to America to have it auctioned off and you could get like a deposit on a Australian home for that. And you know the price of homes here in Australia, that's a lot of money. If you can afford a deposit on a home in Australia from a signed Harry Potter book, that just shows that you're in for a huge payday. And, you know, I don't come from a line of rich family of rich like parents and grandparents, so I'm counting on that book to get me into the housing market. But yeah, I was looking in the thrift for, I was just looking and I found that Philosopher's Stone, opened it up, not a first edition of course, no signature of course, but what I found inside of it was something that got me a bit excited. Not $1,000, not a deposit on a house, it was a lottery ticket. Or here in Australia, scratchy. Scratchies are real simple. You scratch the panel, and if you find three icons that are the exact same, you win the corresponding money amount. So the scratchy value, and like the person that paid originally for this scratchy, I think they paid like $10. So it had maybe 10 different panels. It was already pre-scratched. It was sitting in the Harry Potter book. The maximum prize for that lottery ticket was $250,000. Now, before you get excited, I did not win $250,000. Would that be a deposit on a house in Sydney? I mean, maybe. You would get close, right? You would probably, yeah, it would be a deposit on a house. So I didn't win $250,000, but I looked it over because obviously if somebody's keeping the lottery ticket inside of a book or even keeping a lottery ticket, you have to assume it's a winner. So I looked it over and I could see in the top right panel, there was six icons and three of them were that of stars. There was three stars and the prize money for those three stars was $20. I thought, fuck yeah, I've just won $20 or I've just found a scratchy that has won $20 inside of a Harry Potter book. So the moral dilemma for secondhand opinions later comes from this. But what I did was I got that scratchy and I put it straight in my pocket and I put the book back on the shelf. I think the Harry Potter book was like $5. I could have, you know, bought the book for $5, cashed in the scratchy for 20, profit 15. But no, what I did, scratchy straight in the pocket, book back on the shelf, went about my day in the thrift, couldn't find anything, so I left. Now, I immediately went two doors up, which was a news agency, because I wanted to cash this in, get my $20, you know, be a winner. Feel good, get the endorphins from cashing in a scratchy. I don't buy scratchies, so I don't really know how they work in the sense that you just go up and give them the ticket and they exchange it for money. They cash it in, right? They scan the ticket. So I went next door and I said to him, can you please scan this? And he looks at the ticket, takes a while, and then he looks back at me and he says, no, he can't scan the ticket. I'm like, oh. He said that this ticket is older than 6 years, therefore old tickets can't be scanned. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I thought it was a winner. I thought that, you know, if it's a winner, you should be able to get your money for it. Is there an expiry date on these tickets? Like, do you have fucking 30 days to cash these things in? But no, he said, if it's older than 6 years, yeah, you cannot cash these scratchies in. So I left dejected. I thought, you know, I was going to become $20 richer. Could have paid for lunch. But no, chucked it straight in the bin, came home. Well, I posted the video on TikTok this week and on Instagram and social media. You can apparently send these in to like the lottery officials or whoever runs the lottery, and they're the ones that can, you know, send you out a check. So yeah, as some comments rightly pointed out, that I just threw $20 in the bin, which is not a habit that I want to get into, throwing money straight into the bin. So yeah, I could have sent this in and got the $20, but you live and you learn, right? You never know what's going to fall out of items in thrift stores. And trust me, if you want something to fall out of an item in a thrift store, a winning lottery ticket is definitely number one. There are some grosser items that can fall out of things in thrifts. And yeah, I'm not going to put you off by talking about those. But yeah, that was the start of the week, really. That was the very first thing that I found. And I thought, you know, I'm in for a good week. If I can go into a thrift store and literally get paid for it, like actually paid for it without spending a cent, that's like flipping the switch, right? But no, didn't happen. But that doesn't mean I didn't have a good week still. I had an amazing week. Amazing week of sales, over $1,000 in sales with very few items, meaning our average sale price is high. The items that we bought, also killer items. And I think we should get into that right now, what I bought for this week. So speaking of books, and I know this category isn't that exciting, and I know it's also overwhelming when you go into a thrift store and you see a whole shelf of books. They all blend together. It's hard to sort of pick out what you know is going to be worth money. But I'm going to tell you a sort of category where you will make money, a lot of money, because I found a book this week for $5. The only books that I'm buying this week are either ones that are signed. You know, I'm king of signed books. I want to find ones that are interesting or from prominent people, or I want a book that has a high sell-through rate and will sell for at least $100. So the book that I found is called The Art of Zootopia. Okay, it's a Disney book. If you're not familiar, Zootopia was a animated film that came out in 2016. I think you might remember the trailer. The trailer was everywhere for a period of time. It featured the sloth. Remember the sloth at like the DMV, at the RTA, as we call it here, and he's doing paperwork. I think somebody makes a joke and the sloth goes from looking sort of bored to excited and happy, but very slowly, because sloths, they're known to being docile creatures. So this is The Art of Zootopia. It's a hardcover illustrated book. Everywhere, on every single page, there is information on how they made the film. So it shows like behind the scenes. It shows some of the art and the research that was involved in like making the movie. For example, like it says that it took 8 months just to get the fur right on some of the animals. They wanted to test out like different colors, different textures, and even like the way the fur grew on the animals, like the direction of the fur growth. So it goes into like incredible detail. And this particular book, it has an incredibly high sell-through rate. It's like 200%, which means if you list it up for sale, it's going to sell within 90 days, twice over. And if we look at the most recent sales, they range from $125 to $170 because of the Australia tax, because of the fact there's very few listed within Australia. I think there's like two, and one of them's like $300. I listed mine up for $150. What is like a good category within books is like any sort of book that talks about the art. So if it's a movie, if it's a video game, if it's anything that involves like making something, like the art of, followed by like the title of, you know, animated movie, a game, or like a live action film if it has, you know, gorgeous costumes or whatever, that is going to sell in most cases, or in my experience, for a lot of money. So if we go onto eBay and we check out, you know, the art of, and we fill that in with, you know, anything that you can, anything you can think of. Think of a Disney movie, or think of like an animated movie. Think of like Wall-E. You'll remember Wall-E, that little robot thing. If you type in the art of Wall-E, you can see those books go for over $200. And the more rarer the book, obviously it's going to go for more money. But think back to some of the earlier Disney movies before like the modern shit. Think back to like Treasure Planet. Type in the art of Treasure Planet. On auction, it sold for $350. So any sort of like the art of, and it's a Disney book, man, those hardcover books are selling for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And you can see the exact same results for video games. If they're the art of a video game, $100 plus. This is such a good category. All of the books they're usually high quality because they contain highly detailed information, and they're sort of like coffee table books too. So yeah, you'll be able to notice them in the thrift store. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to sit right next to like a Stephen King paperback book. They're going to stand out. So if they're in a thrift, they might be on the bottom shelf because they would come out a bit from the wall. I encourage you to go onto eBay and just type in the art of Wall-E, so you can see what the book looks like. It's longer than it is taller. They're always quite thick. The pages need to be on thicker paper just because they're all fully color and illustrated. And yeah, they're mostly going to be hardcover books too. So those three words, the art of, are books that you want to be buying. Like I said, I bought this Art of Zootopia for $5, 200% sell-through rate. It's going to sell for $150. And if you like turning $5 into $150, keep an eye out for the art of. Now, just for fun, I've gone onto eBay for the art of and looked at Disney books just to see what's out there. I've, of course, sorted by highest to lowest so I can see some insane prices. If you find the art of Monsters, Inc., amazing movie, that's $350. The art of Treasure Planet, $339. The art of Princess and the Frog, $335. The art of John Carter, that's a live action movie, $252. So it's not just the animated movies, you can get the live action ones. Now, some of these, especially the older ones where they're the art of, have been signed or they're limited editions. So like the art of the Lion King has been signed and it's sold for $500. There's multiple sales for that art of the Lion King. So I guess if you find that one, you're going to make a lot of money. Same with like the art of Hunchback of Notre Dame. That one's signed too, and that's like $400 plus. So yeah, category within books, but if you see it in a thrift, buy it. Now, going back to high sell-through rates and average sale prices, sometimes I dabble in DVDs. You know, if I find one that's going to be selling for $100, I'd buy it. I don't get that excited for them unless they're like a cool title. You know, I got excited the other day for finding Cat Dog Season 1 with like this 3D, you know, when you run your hand over the front of it and you can feel it. I found one of those, but it was worth like $15. I got more excited about that than these three DVDs I'm about to tell you. All three of these DVDs sell for between $65 and $100. So get a pen and paper. I'm about to read them out to you. Number one, I paid a total of $14 for these three DVDs. I only picked them up because they were all in the same thrift store in the same row. And I figure if I'm going to be buying one and having to, you know, take photos of it, I may as well buy all three, because yeah, the purchase price and listed price, the difference between those two is huge. So DVD number one is called The Wombles. I've never heard of this show before. It looks like they're a bunch of puppets. Apparently they talk about recycling and being environmentally friendly, which I'm sure all kids would love to watch. But I bought that for $3. The listed price is $100, an even $100. It was the Wombles DVD Complete Collection. The second DVD was the Dame Edna Experience Complete Collection. And the third DVD was Berserk, complete 1997 TV series. All the photos for this are on the Flip Weekly newsletter, but the total price for all three of those was $14. And the listed price was $254.85. So there's a huge difference there. There's like, before eBay fees and stuff, there's like $240 worth of profit. So there is money to be made in this category. The complete collections is obviously what you want to be finding in the thrift store. And what you want to be buying is, you know, those sort of obscure shows, I guess. I've never heard of Berserk, for example. It's a animated TV show from 1997. Purchase price was $5 and listed price is $89.95. All of these DVDs have a huge sell-through rate. Like, I listed them all up like 3 days ago, and collectively they have something like, what's that, like 29 views, which is a lot for a DVD, I think. So they should all sell quite quickly, I think. I think Berserk has like 100% sell-through rate. So don't go into the thrift and buy, you know, like TV shows that you see all the time, like Weeds or Two and a Half Men. You'd be able to make some profit from it, but at what cost? It's boring as fuck. You might make like 15, 20 bucks. Who knows how long that sell-through rate is? Get the obscure stuff. If you see something on the shelf, you've never seen it before, it's worth looking up. That is the mindset I go in when I'm looking at DVDs. Just like the books, there's so many different fucking titles there that if something stands out, if something's a bit different, it should catch your eye. I mean, that's at least how it is for me. You know, you're looking at Bruce Almighty, you're looking at fucking Batman and Robin, you're looking at Harry Potter, and then all of a sudden you see the Wombles, and it has like these like puppet characters that, I don't know, they look like anteaters. Never seen it before. Okay, let's check it out. What do you know? $100 it sells for. If not more, if you get the fucking limited edition version of it. So that's what I do in the DVDs. I don't want to be buying them that often because, like I said, they don't get me excited. Even that $100 sell-through sale price, it still doesn't excite me that much. I would rather sell something a bit more interesting and a bit more obscure than a DVD. You know, DVDs are great because they're so easy to post. They're so easy to photograph. As long as it works and there's no huge scratches on it, you're usually quite fine with it. And, you know, once it sells, you're done. But yeah, they're just not that exciting. And I was reluctant to buy these, but, you know, it was a slow day. I figure I'll be able to talk about it because these are all things that you should be picking up. But yeah, the most important thing is when you're scanning, and when I say scanning, I don't mean taking out a disc and scanning like the barcode. Huge waste of time, in my opinion. Just scan with your eyes, find something that is a bit different that you've never seen before. And that curiosity should lead you to finding some great items. Like, I swear to God, my hands are either in my pockets or my arms are folded when I'm looking at these things. And then the only time I unfold my fucking arms is to pull out these weird things. You know, I don't want to expel that much energy. If I'm reaching my arm out to get a DVD, it better be worth fucking $100. So yeah. Look at the images on the Flip Weekly newsletter just to see what they look like and to see what those fucking Womble things look like. Tell me if you think they look weird or if kids would enjoy them. Moving on to what has sold, and before I embarrass myself by telling you about my cleanup, my culling of items, that's so embarrassing. I'm going to tell you about what makes me feel better before the bullying comes. I'm going to tell you about items that I sold this week. Now, you would know from the title of this podcast that I made bank with what I would describe as a collectible category. Now, I put collectibles in quotation marks because I've never met somebody that collects Sydney 2000 Olympic memorabilia. It's such a bizarre category. It's an event that happened 25 years ago. I know that people collect concert t-shirts, like really old concert t-shirts. I don't know anybody that collects Olympic memorabilia. And if you are collecting that, are you collecting all Olympic memorabilia? Are you collecting just the Sydney 2000 Olympics because it happened up the road? I really don't understand the appeal of this market. And I honestly think it is one of the most overvalued categories in all thrift stores and garage sales. I see it all the time in thrift stores and garage sales. You know, we see Funko Pops, we see Beanie Babies. Sydney 2000 Olympic memorabilia, at least in Sydney here, is fucking everywhere and it's always priced up. It's held up on such a pedestal that I am over it and I never thought I would make a single dollar in this space. I mean, they had these mascots back then called Sid, Millie and Ollie. Oh, and Lizzie. Lizzie the Lizard. It's, even the names are horrible. But there were a bunch of like native Australian animals and they were licensed onto like this huge array of different products, like money boxes, plush toys, commemorative plates, like literally everywhere. You know what it reminded me of? And this is going to take a slight tangent. It reminded me of Rovio back in 2014. If you don't know the company Rovio, they're responsible for Angry Birds. Do you remember that mobile game Angry Birds? So one of the first things you did when you got a new iPhone was you downloaded this viral game. Now, back in 2014, I had a website called ICanDoItLater.com. It was sort of like BuzzFeed, but less successful. We did a lot of cool shit. I mean, we made like the world's largest Snickers. We sent some stuff to the moon. It was bizarre. Okay. But I remember writing an article about Rovio and the article title was, "Is Rovio Out of Control?" Because at the time Angry Birds was everywhere and it drove me nuts. They had Angry Birds, pet toys, soap dispensers. They had Angry Birds underwear, toothbrushes. It made me so angry seeing this Angry Birds shit everywhere that like for Christmas and birthday for that year, my family would gift me Angry Birds shit. It was a big thing at the time, big moment in my life. But that's how I saw this Sydney 2000 bullshit, is that like they made so many different items that it just floods the market now. And it's still around today. Like I was at a thrift store earlier and I saw a Sydney 2000 plush toy of the Kookaburra, whoever the Kookaburra was. It was like $15. And I'm not kidding. I open up Marketplace later this evening and I saw the exact same plush for like $10. Like the thrift store's more expensive. But this is like, it's held up on a pedestal. And I don't understand it because this shit is worth nothing and it has the worst sell-through rate imaginable. Like there's key rings that were released with McDonald's Happy Meals and they're on eBay right now for like over $50. I mean, right now I'm looking this up, there's 427 listings for McDonald's Sydney 2000 Olympics. And you know how many have sold? 19. It's a 4.45% sell-through rate, less than 5% sell-through rate. And you would literally be better off selling Bruce Almighty on DVD. You would have a 2% sell-through rate improvement. You know how I harp on about you should never, ever sell Bruce Almighty on DVD. It's an example of media that doesn't sell. Well, this Sydney 2000 Olympic shit is even worse than that. And if you think, well, Matt, of course, you're looking at McDonald's toys. It can't be that bad. May I present the next fact? Sydney 2000 Olympics in the collectibles market right now on eBay is sitting at 9,200 active listings. So about just over 9,000 active listings. How many have sold? It's even worse. It's 384 have sold, which gives it a 4.17% sell-through rate. So McDonald's Olympic toys sell better than the collectible Olympic toys. I know I'm coming at you with some numbers. It's a lot of numbers, but the bottom line is this, right? Is the category fucking sucks. It really sucks. There's no money to be made. It's overpriced. It's put on the pedestal. And yet somehow this week, I was able to turn a profit on it. And I did it quickly. I'm going to tell you what I bought and what I sold. For $25, I found a set of soft cover books, and they're all within this plastic slip case from the Sydney 2000 Olympics. And each of those little soft cover books, they represent one of the Olympic sports that were at the 2000 Olympic Games. So just picture, you know, a small plastic slipcase, and inside that, they're like programs. You know, when you go to a concert and you can buy those overpriced programs, you know, I went to Hans Zimmer in Sydney here in August, and fucking hell, I swear to God, the programs were like $50. You go to Savers or you go to a Vinny's up the road and you'll be able to buy them now for $2. They're so overpriced. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to be sitting in the concert reading the program. You're going to see what song's up next. Like, why do you need to know that? I don't understand why people buy this as a commemorative thing, whatever. Anyway, the condition of these was okay, but what I was mostly interested in was seeing if there was anything missing, because I don't want to sell something that is incomplete, ideally. And looking at this, like this slip case, it had a lot of room on either side. So I was like, okay, this might be missing something. It has the programs. Let's see if like a sport is missing. I counted them up. And I looked online, there should have been 29, and there was 29. And you know what was even cooler was not the fact that we had the complete set, was that this item has been documented in the Powerhouse collection. Now, if you don't know what the Powerhouse collection is, you might remember it from the newsletter when I talked about in issue 49, if you want to go back and take a look, I found a military board game from the early 1900s, and that had been documented in the Powerhouse collection. And the Powerhouse is basically, if I want to tell you the description, quote, Powerhouse is custodian to more than 500,000 objects of national and international significance. The Powerhouse collection is considered one of the finest and most diverse collections in the world. So basically, they catalog really cool, unique items. And just like that military board game that I found in the from the early 1900s, this slipcase of Olympic programs was documented in there. So this is really cool. I can't find anything similar on eBay. And I'm going to use the Powerhouse collection's description to tell you what this is, because they can do a better job than me, and you might not understand what the fuck I'm talking about. So it says, quote, this series of 29 soft cover books titled Collector's Set of Official Olympic Games Sports Programs was published in 2000 by the Sydney Organizing Committee for the Olympic Games. Each edition represents one of the 28 Olympic sports, while a special edition documents Olympic swimming. The range of topics covered in each edition is diverse and includes cursory chapters on Australian culture, Olympic history, sports history, Sydney 2000 Olympic venues and qualifying athletes. The entire set, including its grey plastic slipcase, retailed in the year 2000 for $399 Australian dollars plus $16 for postage and handling. Now, if there's one thing I got from that, was that, fuck, that's pretty cheap for postage back in the year 2000. Shipping this off now is about double that. But yeah, this thing, I don't know who the fuck would be spending $400 on this back in the year 2000. Again, they're the programs for each sport. Why would you want to know this? I don't understand what people are spending their money on. Somebody spent $400 on this fucking thing. I couldn't find any sold comps for these programs. I could find, okay, when they were selling this program, these programs, there was like tiers. So like tier one, you could get like a single book and it was like $50, for example. Tier two was all of the programs, individual books within this slipcase, and it was, I guess, $400. And then there was a tier above that came in like this sort of special edition box instead of like this plastic slipcase, and that was even more. When I was looking up comps, I couldn't find anything for this exact plastic slipcase that I found, but I could find one for the tier above, and they were like at $250, I think. So that sort of set the range for what I could list this for. I could see individual programs selling for like $30-$40. Not many. They all seemed to be table tennis, which I thought was weird. Maybe something happened in table tennis that year, but yeah, there wasn't... there wasn't sales for like swimming. There wasn't sales for like, I don't know, some other random sport. It was all for table tennis. So yeah, I had my range. no active comps, no sold comps. So I was like, $200, let's see how it goes. $199.95 plus postage. The person's going to have to pay postage because it's going to be heavy. And, you know, it's sold in just over three weeks. I might get an advantage for being in Sydney. So it's not going to, maybe it's not going to cost as much to ship within Sydney, or they're going to get it quicker. Maybe that's an advantage. But yeah, I don't know. I paid $25 for it. I was sort of annoyed at the price because at the time there was no sticker on it at the Vinnies. So I took it up to the counter. I was like, there's no price. Can you let me know how much this is? And the guy took it away. The manager went upstairs and he came back and he was like, we'll price this like any other magazine. $25, is that okay? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Whatever. I paid the $25. It was like a couple of days later, I went back to the same thrift store and I could see the other half of the plastic case. Like, it had two parts, like the part where the programs sit in and then like the slip case that goes over the top of that. I could see a price tag on that for $15. So I overpaid by $10, but that wasn't there at the time. So I paid $25 total. It sold just over 3 weeks. I do not recommend buying into this category though. I see it at yard sales. There's the little Olympic mascots. They're always priced so high, and people think that because they keep it in the original plastic, it's worth even more. I'm going to tell you, it's worth nothing. If you're in Sydney and you find this shit, just leave it alone. Unless you look it up and it's been documented by a fucking museum or whatever the powerhouse collection is. But I'll tell you this, the only item I will buy from the Sydney 2000 Olympics is if I can come across the original running torch. You know, when the Olympics is on and for some reason people go in like this relay all across the country running the torch to the final destination, the cauldron. It's like Lord of the Rings. You do know you could just like fly with the eagles to get there. You don't have to run across the entire country. If I find one of them, I'll fucking buy it because they go for like $5,000 to $10,000 on eBay. And it would be really cool if I could like light my cigars with this Olympic torch. It's the first thing I would do, by the way. So that was the first thing that I sold. I couldn't believe that I was able to sell an Olympic, memorabilia. But that isn't where the fun stops, because the next sale is the highest for the entire week. Last sale, $200. This one, a bit more than that. So let's talk real quick about this next sale. I was able to turn $36 that I spent on 9 books into, drumroll please, $900. $900. I am still reeling from this sale. I can't believe it. I found this complete 9 book series of a thing called The Ringing Cedars. Never heard of this before. $4 a book. Within 60 days it sold. It had a ton of views, ton of watches. I accepted a best offer. I had it listed up for $1,000. It sold for $900. I talked all about them in the Flip Weekly newsletter back in issue number 63. If you want to go on flipweekly.com to see what I wrote about it. But just like I mentioned about the media we were talking about before, complete sets of books are going to do well, or they can do well. You know, when I went into the thrift store for this item back in August, I just saw these 9 books sitting on the shelf next to each other. And, you know, they're all the same color. You can see them go from 1 to 9 or 1 to 8.2, but I'll talk about that in a sec. All from the same author. That to me just rings a bell of like, look these up, see what they're worth. And I did, and I could see over $1,000. And I was like, oh, fuck. How much are these? $4 each, $36 total. I legit could turn $36 into $1,000. I didn't. I turned $36 into $900, but I posted a video about this on social media. So check that out. You can see when I bought it. But I sort of noticed something about like these sort of spirituality books. That's what the series is about, by the way. I think it's self-help, but I noticed that a lot of them go from like volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to like volume 5.1, 5.2. In this case, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then like 8.1, 8.2. It's a bit weird to say, but I think that might be an indicator that a book is worth a bit of money. Now, they're not doing that to show people like this book is worth money, but it seems like I've looked up a few books from here, and if they go that non-traditional route, they seem to be I don't know if this is like a thing just within spirituality books. If you know more about this, if you have more knowledge about this than me, hit me up. But it seems like this spirituality or this self-help sort of area, they go like that. They go like the 5.1, 5.2 instead of like 4, 5, 6. And yeah, maybe it was a trend within like that sort of area for a while. And all those books had, I don't know, maybe they had like less books printed, and then they're still wanted by people. Maybe the demand is still high. But yeah, that's something to keep an eye out for. If you see a couple of books and the volume numbers have that point something, just look into it, because it might be a sign that it's worth a bit of money. I don't know if I'll ever find these books again. They have two different covers. Jump onto the newsletter to check out what they look like. And just know, yeah, keep an eye out for that one sign that you might want to check it out. Check a bit, like look into it a bit more. So now the next item that sold, it sort of bummed me out a bit because I didn't get to spend much time with him. It's a sad day because Mr. Squiggle is departing my home. He was with me for 5 days. I had a couple of offers on him for $140, $150. But just like any item, when you're getting those offers and they're quite high within like the first couple of days, chances are if you just wait a bit longer, somebody's going to snap it up for that full price. And that's exactly what I did. So the person paid $200, and like a cheeky guy, I made them pay postage. I don't know why I find that so funny. I remember seeing, I think it might have been on Reddit, somebody critiquing someone else that sold like $1,000 video game, and they made them pay postage, and everyone in the comments was like, you could have at least gave them free post. You're selling something for so much money. I'm selling a plush toy for $200, and I'm like, yeah, you'll be paying the post. But yeah, I at the time, I was the only one with a Mr. Squiggle on eBay, so I priced him up at $200. If you're not familiar, go back and listen to the last podcast. Mr. Squiggle is a children's character. It's just a plush toy. That's all it is. I think it was a day after I listed mine up, somebody else listed theirs up, and it was only $150. So I thought, oh, I wonder if this is going to be like splitting the market, splitting the buyers. But no, mine sold, and that $150 one is still up. For whatever reason, they liked mine better, and it sold $200. It's out the door. I paid $35 for him. And yeah, you need to be keeping an eye out at thrift stores and garage sales for this little plush toy, because chances are if it's like on the floor and not behind a glass cabinet, they don't know what it is. You probably get him for $5 and you'll be able to turn him in to at least $200. Remember, when I listed him up, there was no sold comp anywhere close to 200. I mean, there was one for 140 and one for 150, but when you have the only one, you can ask for really whatever you want. I could have asked it for 300. Who knows if the person that bought this for 200 would have paid $300. So if you find Mr. Squiggle and you look up active listings and there's none there, shoot higher than me. I did 200, you can do 300, see how you go. And I just recommend even checking your basements and your attics and the back of your cupboard. See if you've got one hiding in there. The next is a signed book. Yes, I know, not exciting. The sale price is exciting. I turned $3 into $100 in exactly 1 month. The book that I sold was Gordon Ramsay's very first autobiography. The book is called Humble Pie, and it's off to Dubai, of all places. They have a huge postage cost to ship to Dubai. $59 for a book to Dubai from Australia. It's a lot of money. I recommend looking into Gordon's books for his signature. I would say, though, that you would find more success from his autobiographies, especially Humble Pie, which is the very first autobiography that he was involved with. He's had two since. I don't know why he would have more than one. The topics seem to be the same. I looked them up afterwards to see maybe he's talking about different things. It just seems to be the same shit. But yeah, pure anecdotes. But I think he put more effort into the first one, in the sense that he did more sit-down interviews about it. He did more book signings. So I've found this book twice. I have one. I put one in my personal collection. And the next time I found this one, I listed it up just to see how it would go. And it sold, like I said, 30 days for $100, three into $100. So it's a good one to find. Gordon is so popular. He's so fucking popular everywhere. He's going to sell quickly. You know, if you type in Gordon Ramsay signed on eBay right now, you're going to see like photos of Gordon selling for like $300. You're going to be seeing that sort of shit. So, I mean, what would you rather, a signed photo of Gordon for $300 or a signed book, something of value for $100? It's a no-brainer. Now, there's a couple of other solds that I've talked about in the Flip Weekly newsletter. If you want to jump on there, take a look. I'm not going to get into that right now because I want to tell you about the most embarrassing sale of the week. And yes, I do want to talk about it. I don't want any bullying. I'm being vulnerable. I'm going to tell you about what I sold in an effort to like reduce my inventory, in an effort to like clear up space and save myself some time, really, because I'm removing items that have low sale prices because I don't want to go to the post office for something that is worth like $10, $20. So I removed any item that I had on my eBay that had been sitting there for at least a year or sold for like less than $50. However, I kept a few of the cheaper items just if I thought, you know, they were cool. So I was working through that. I have a new inventory system set up. I have my storage containers and I went through it all. I was able to clear out like four storage containers. I had three moving bags at the end of it full of items. And I'm talking like sealed shit. I'm not talking like just junk, like loose stuff. It's good quality in the sense that it's not, you know, it's not dirty, but it is, it's low hanging fruit. So I was thinking about like donating them back to the thrift store, but you know, thinking about that, the thing that bothered me wasn't that it was sort of like cannibalistic, like feeding the beast type thing. Like I got them from thrift stores. I'm giving them straight back. It's like the feeling of when you put a new garbage bag in the bin and then you put like the wrapping for the garbage bags inside of that bag. I don't know. I feel like I'm feeding chicken to a chicken when I'm doing that. It's a bit weird, but I decided against it. I decided to list it up on Marketplace and I decided on a really cheap price because I did not want this sitting in my apartment for too long. So I put a $50 price tag on it. And to be honest, it would be a huge steal, especially if the person is going to like resell it at a market or even online, because the value would be in the hundreds, like probably over $500, but the sell through rate extremely, extremely low. So the photos I've put up on the Flip Weekly newsletter, but I'm going to go through some of them for you now. I'm going to be cringing as I tell you some of these items. It's embarrassing, but it's also a reminder of just how far we've really come, because at one point in time, I was buying things like The Best of Dr. Seuss, which is a DVD that you can get on. If you can go onto eBay right now, look at that DVD, and you can buy it for $4.99. And that includes post. I don't know why I bought this. It must have been my mindset easily over 12 months ago. This thing would have been sitting for fucking ever. I mean, there's that. There's a single copy of A Clash of Kings, which is the second book, not the first, the second book in the Game of Thrones series. Who would want just the second book? That thing has such a low sell-through rate and a low selling price. They're one of the most like bizarre items here. It was a snapback cap, a baseball cap. On the front of it was a logo for a company called Lawrence Transport. Now, this isn't some old vintage company that is like Harley Davidson where it's sought after. This is a current company operating right now in Sydney that has like 10,000 likes on Facebook. I have no fucking idea why I bought this hat. Lawrence Transport snapback cap. I think over the entire like 2 years it's been online, it might have had like a view, like a single view, and it was probably from somebody accidentally clicking on it. There's like a Hot Wheels car, like a Batman Hot Wheels car, which wasn't even old. It's not even like a vintage Hot Wheels car. It was from like 2022, and you'd struggle to sell it for $1 at the markets. And you know what's worse? Was like going through this stuff and I was finding items that fell through the gaps. You know, when I was finding something that I was taking out of my inventory, I would go into eBay, I'd go into Marketplace, and I'd remove it so that I wouldn't sell it and, you know, then I wouldn't have it. I was finding items that weren't even listed on eBay and Marketplace. So they're just sitting in my inventory. They'd be sitting there forever till I'm dead and buried. There was like a frozen memory game that was not on eBay, was not on Marketplace. It would be worth like 10 bucks if that. It was just, yes, just sitting there without being listed. And obviously you can't sell without being listed anywhere. But you know what's even worse than that is when you offer some of this shit to family and they do not want it. They're like, oh, you know, you could list that up and someone will buy it. I'm like, do you want it? Like, no, oh, you could list it up. Someone will buy it off you. It's just like a polite way of saying, this is junk. We do not want it. Like, don't get me wrong. You could probably fill up a market stall, or you would fill up a market stall with this shit, and you might be able to make your money back. I mean, you should be able to make your money back, unless you're pricing everything at a dollar. In that case, you might double your money, but you would be able to make your money back. There was a whole host of clothes in there too. There was more snapback caps. There was board games. There were sealed board games. There was books. There was DVDs. There was video games. There was a PlayStation 1 game, some PlayStation 2 games, all like under $10 games, but still, you'd be able to make a bit of money. There was like, there was a lot of stuff. I mean, in one photo that you will see on flipweekly.com on the newsletter, one photo is all sealed toys. And I mean, the toys are all like $25 or less, but they're all sealed. You know, there's like a Star Wars toy, a modern one. There was like a Harry Potter toy. There was like a Ghostbusters. There was a couple of Star Wars Mandalorian puzzles. Some board games that are sealed, but they just never moved. Harry Potter wands. Some like Dwayne The Rock Johnson action figures that nobody fucking wants. So there was heaps there, but it just, yeah, just didn't move. And I honestly think I got rid of about 100 items from my eBay, which I'm really glad to be doing, to have done. Because at the end of the day, we're wanting high ticket items. We want the sale to be worth dragging ourselves out of bed so that we can go to the post office for. Like, we want it to be that when you hear the ka-ching from eBay, that it isn't for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire interactive DVD quiz game, which is one of the DVDs that I bought. It's for something that is worth $100 or more, hopefully. At least $100 or more. So yeah, I put that listing up on Marketplace. The entire lot was gone by the next day. 50 bucks. I thought I was getting a good deal. The lady that picked it up thought she was getting a good deal. I asked her if she was a reseller, but no, she said she just had a big family. But I don't know. I find it a bit weird. Resellers sometimes, if I'm selling a lot, every time I've sold a lot on Marketplace, they never say they're resellers. They always say they have a big family. Like, I remember I sold like 150 plushes once. I bought this huge plush lot and I thought I would, you know, list them up individually and they can see it and some can randomly sell. It'd be like a nice little like $20, $30 ka-ching. I did this ages ago. And then I took them all down because I didn't want to fucking deal with them. And then I put them all out on my couch. There were so many of them and they sold like instantly too. And the guy that was picking them up, not kidding, like 7 garbage bags full of plush toys. I asked him, you know, are you a reseller? And no, he said he just had a big family too. So, I mean, there's people out there that have big families. I don't know how the fuck they can afford to do it. But yeah, the person that bought this, I mean, I honestly don't care. I'm hoping that the person's able to make some money from it. And I would have even, I mean, given some tips, but I don't know. But at the same time, I get annoyed when thrift store employees, they comment on my purchases. So maybe I was being annoying like that. But either way, I'm so glad to have that gone. It's freed up so much space. From now on, all high ticket items, high sell through rate items. We're not going to be buying shit. That's it. We want to be buying good shit. So yeah, go onto the newsletter and laugh at what I fucking bought when I didn't know what I was doing. Now, finally, for secondhand opinions, this is a simple concept. I throw up a controversial, or at least like a somewhat interesting topic, and I'll present my argument, and it's usually poorly thought out, and then you provide your own. You can do that by voting on the newsletter. You can do that by writing in matt@flipweekly.com, or you can go on the website flipweekly.com and submit the contact form, or of course just leave a comment. Remember, it's Matt with one T. I do not have two T's in my name. But last week I asked you, are thrifted gifts thoughtful or tacky? The results are in, and it's a wholesome result. We have 81.82% of people saying they're thoughtful. So less than 20% think that thrifted gifts are tacky, which is good, because when this comes out, I'll be with family, and I've already gotten them a few gifts from when I hit the thrift this week, so I'm glad that they're not tacky gifts. But yeah, it's very wholesome to see that people are saying that, you know, items that you buy from a thrift store for somebody are thoughtful. I think the exact same thing. In fact, last week I said they're more thoughtful. I went even further and said they're more thoughtful. But this week's topic is very much related to what I talked about earlier. So I talked about finding the scratchy / lotto ticket in the Harry Potter book. This week's topic is, you find money inside a book at the thrift. Do you either leave the book and pocket the cash, buy the book and keep the money, or hand it into staff? So this is in relation to what happened to me this week. I wanted to know what you would do if you're in my situation, but we're flipping it up a bit by saying it's cold, hard cash. You open up the random book, you're looking for a signature or a first edition or something like that, and the money is just sitting there. So you're looking around and it's just you. Are you pocketing that money? Are you buying the book and keeping the cash that, you know, just so happens to be inside? Or are you reporting it to like the thrift store, handing into the staff where they will most likely keep it as a donation? I want to know what you think about that. Let me know. Jump onto the website, vote in the poll, email in, leave a comment, tell me what you would do. Now that's all I got for you this week. Thanks again for listening. If you want to see some of the items that I bought, jump onto flipweekly.com. Read the newsletter, jump onto social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. We're on all of those. You can see videos, you can see photos. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Leave a review, leave whatever rating. And I hope you have a great time at the thrift for the rest of the week. Garage sales on the weekend. Let me know how you go. I will see you again next week. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.
Flip, 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 fl